The priest's environment pod was halfway up the tree ship, far out on a secondary branch. As the consul expected, the comlog direction wafer Hetmestine had given him also served as a palmlock override. After useless minutes tapping the announcer chime and pounding on the access portal, the consul triggered the override and stepped into the pod. Father Hoyt was on his knees, writhing in the center of the grass carpet. Bedclothes, gear, garments, and the contents of a standard med kit were strewn on the floor around him. He had torn off his tunic and collar and sweated through his shirt, so that it now hung in damp folds, ripped and tattered, where he had clawed through the fabric. Hyperion light seeped through the pod wall, making the bizarre tableau appear to be staged underwater. Or, thought the consul, in a cathedral. Lennar Hoyt's face contorted in agony as his hands raked at his chest. Muscles on his exposed forearms writhed like living creatures moving beneath his pale tarp of a skin.
"The injector malfunctioned,"
gasped Hoyt.
"Please."
The consul nodded, commanded the door to close, and knelt next to the priest. He removed the useless injector from Hoyt's clenched fist and ejected the Surette ampule. Ultramorphine. The consul nodded again and took out an injector from the med kit he had brought from his ship. It took less than 5 seconds to load the ultramorph.
"Please," begged Hoyt.
His whole body spasmed. The consul could almost see the waves of pain passing through the man.
"Yes," said the consul.
He took a ragged breath.
"But first the rest of the story."
Hoyt stared, reached weakly for the injector. Sweating himself now, the consul held the instrument just out of reach.
"Yes, in a second. After the rest of the story. It's important that I know."
"Oh, God, sweet Jesus, please!"
"Yes. Yes, as soon as you tell me the truth."
Father Hoyt collapsed onto his forearms, breathing in quick pants.
"You fucking bastard!" he gasped.
The priest took several deep breaths, held one until his body quit shaking, and tried to sit up. When he looked at the consul, there was something like relief in the maddened eyes.
"Then you'll give me the shot?"
"Yes."
"All right. The truth. Paracebo Plantation, like I said. We flew in early October. Lysias, 8 years after Duray, disappeared. Oh, Christ, it hurts. Alcohol and endos don't work at all anymore, only pure ultramorph."
"Yes. It's ready, as soon as the story is done."
The priest lowered his head. Sweat dripped from his cheeks and nose onto the short grass. The consul saw the man's muscles tense, as if he were going to attack. Then another spasm of pain racked the thin body, and Hoyt sagged forward.
"Skimmer wasn't destroyed by Tesla. Sempha, two men and I, forced down near the cleft while Orlandi searched upriver. His skimmer had to wait while the lightning storm died down. Bikora came in the night. Killed Sempha, the pilot, the other man, forget his name, left me alive."
Hoyt reached for his crucifix, realized that he had torn it off. He laughed briefly, stopping before the laughter turned to sobs.
"They told me about the way of the cross, about the cruciform, told me about the Son of the Flames. Next morning they took me to see the Son. Took me to see him."
Hoyt struggled upright and clawed at his own cheeks. His eyes were wide, the ultramorph obviously forgotten despite the pain.
"About 3 kilometers into the flame forest. Big Tesla. 80, 100 meters tall at least. quiet then, but still a lot of charge in the air. Ash everywhere. The Bakura wouldn't go too close, just knelt there with their goddamn bald heads bowed. But I went close, had to. Dear God, oh Christ, it was him. Duray, what was left of him. He'd used a ladder to get 3, maybe 4 meters up on the bole of the tree, built a sort of platform for his feet, broken the arrestor rods off, little more than spikes, then sharpened them. Must have used a rock to drive the long one through his feet into the Bestos platform and tree. His left arm, he'd pounded the stake between the radius and ulna. Missed veins, just like the goddamned Romans. Very secure as long as his skeleton was intact. Other hand, right hand, palm down. He'd driven the spike first, sharpened both ends, then impaled his right hand. Somehow bent the spike over. Hook. Ladder'd fallen long ago, but it was Bestos. Hadn't burned. Used it to climb up to him. Everything'd burned away years ago. Clothes, skin, top layers of flesh. But the Bestos pouch was still around his neck. The alloy spikes still conducted current, even when I could see it, feel it, surging through what was left of the body. It still looked like Paul Duray. Important, I told Monsignor, no skin, flesh raw or boiled away, nerves and things visible like gray and yellow roots, Christ, the smell, but it still looked like Paul Duray. I understood then, understood it all, somehow, even before reading the journals. Understood he'd been hanging there, oh dear God, 7 years, living, dying, the cruciform forcing him to live again. Electricity surging through him every second of those 7 years. Flames, hunger, pain, death, but somehow the goddamned cruciform, leaching substance from the tree maybe, the air, what was left. Rebuilding what it could, forcing it to live, to feel the pain over and over and over.